B-Pod Studios.
Yes! Hello, my broken brigade! 'Tis your great leader, Broken Matt Hardy! And you are currently listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with two wonderful blokes, James Stewart and Mike Riley. Yes! Let's get into it and listen to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast!
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. This pay-per-view TLC, it looks like it put Joe Murray to sleep because he is supposed to be with us. He's not with us. Just tried calling him. He did not answer. So I assume that this show put him to sleep. God bless him. He's not required to be here. We are. This was not the best way to end 2019 for the WWE. Looking at it, this was not a good pay-per-view. This was a bad pay-per-view. This is two thumbs down on a pay-per-view that started off with two excellent opening matches. But I want to get to a bigger picture point as this might be the end of the women's revolution. And more to the point, this might be the last time for a while we see the women main event a pay-per-view. This TLC match of Becky and Charlotte against Asuka and Kairi Sane, it was trying to tell a story, a very different story than most TLC matches do. But I was not invested in this story. I was not interested in the story that they were trying to tell. And worse than that, the Minnesota crowd was not interested or invested in the story. The match work I felt was sloppy, and I do not use that very loosely. This match, this main event, drug on. And now it's the second pay-per-view in a row where the women have gone on last, and I felt it's been a struggle. Mike Riley?
Yeah, this was not, like you said, not a good way to end 2019 and not a good way to end the decade for the WWE. I thought that just that main event was, Bobby Lashley, Rusev, vomit. Bray Wyatt versus The Miz, you know, obviously no offense there for Bray Wyatt. I thought that we're starting to see the Fiend character come out. I think that would have been really cool. But then what they do with Daniel Bryan sets up a storyline there. Didn't do anything. That match sucked. Roman Reigns, King Corbin. I mean, that was cool. I think with the Dolph Ziggler thing, should have stopped there, set up a rival between those two. But, you know, then you have the Revival come out and finish it off with that fight at the end. Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black, probably the, it was one match I didn't really care about going into it, but that was actually a pretty decent match. I thought they had a good performance, and the opening match was good, the tag team one. Other than that, it went downhill fast. And the Kabuki Warriors and Charlotte and Becky, four, you know, very talented performers right there in the main event, nothing, did nothing for me. I hope it's not the end of the women's revolution, Jimmy. Last year at TLC, though, that's where we saw Ronda Rousey come out. And she, you know, pushed the ladder down there on top of Charlotte and Becky. And I was hoping we'd have something with Shayna Baszler this time around, but that obviously did not happen either. So they failed here with the chance to capitalize on NXT winning Survivor Series. Zero NXT guys. Survivor Series essentially now pointless for that bragging right there. This pay-per-view was bad.
So NXT winning Survivor Series is not pointless. And it's because the point of them winning Survivor Series was to get more people to watch the Wednesday night show and to beat AEW. So that's a different story. And, you know, all roads. Oh, hang on. Stand by.
Oh, well, not
Joe,
just
Joe Murray. Hello.
Am I missing this?
We just started. I'm actually still recording while I have you on speakerphone.
All right, I'm in front of this thing in a minute.
All right. this is actually better because we opened the show by saying this show puts you to sleep. Joe Murray now joins us. Apparently this pay-per-view put you to sleep, Joe?
I might have had a little nap in there, watching the Kabuki Warriors there. And
you had a decaf instead of a regular, huh?
Yeah. It's like, all right, do I want to watch a 7-3 football game or this? So kind of knocked me out, and I was like, oh, my God, I got to talk about this with the guy.
We were just saying how it must have been a blessing in the sky because Mike and I are required to be here. You're just doing us a favor by joining us. But just to kind of reset for you, Joe, I think that this might be the end of the women's revolution. And more so, tonight might be the last time that we see the women main event for a long time.
I don't know. I think this is somewhat of a throw-in. I think people like TLC events. I thought and if we get into it a little bit more, New Day Revival, yeah, they were pretty good at a tables, ladders, and chairs match. The women, I didn't think were great.
They were terrible, Joe. It was a terrible match.
It wasn't good.
Okay. Yeah. But now that we're all talking about it, what was memorable? What was memorable about even tonight's event whatsoever?
How bad it was. How they turned gimmick matches into tough to watch. That's what's terrible about it. The Aleister Black Buddy Murphy match was awesome. It was hard hitting, it was physical. But outside of that, Corbin and Roman, they tried. Did nothing. Yeah. Gallows and Anderson against the Viking Warriors, did nothing for me. Bray Wyatt versus The Miz, at least the crowd was invested in that match. But Daniel Bryan, the American Dragon, is back with the short hair. Like, that's memorable. But other than that, they turned a gimmick pay-per-view into mostly a yawn fest. And that's what's memorable about TLC 2019.
This was a dud. And I can't see how people can enjoy TLC now. I mean, they absolutely killed this pay-per-view. And, I said, Joe, before you got on, that the NXT winning Survivor Series is pointless. And Jimmy, did say that it was for them to, showcase them and to get ratings and everything. I was just saying it without Shayna Baszler not out there and no NXT superstars. I would have liked to have seen them carry that momentum here into the TLC. And that didn't happen. I think they really could have capitalized there, and it did not happen. And a real disappointing factor.
Well, if you talk about storylines, right, did we really get anything else of that Rusev angle? That's something that's been going on for a while now. Can that thing get any worse? The tables couldn't even really help that angle by any means tonight. If we're continuing to tell stories, did really anything get over? I mean, maybe this angle with the family is interesting. I actually thought that the 2 days ago and the baby monitor upstairs and Bray Wyatt, so I thought that was pretty good, but did it tell it in the ring? And to me, did any of this? We keep talking about this, right? There's one preview to the other, or one show to the other. Do they tell stories, or are there any repercussions or anything like that? Is there anything that happened tonight that's going to lean towards Royal Rumble?
No, not at all. This was just a show to put on a show because it was on the schedule. It was a theme pay-per-view, and we have the return of the American Dragon, Daniel Bryan, to feud with The Miz, and maybe to feud with Bray Wyatt to continue that story. But The Miz, actually, I really enjoyed The Miz and how personal his promo was towards Bray Wyatt. And it was a different side of The Miz. I like that. But one of the things that bothers me just in general about wrestling is if a feud is personal, the wrestler, the superstar, still comes out and does his entrance pose as if there's nothing, like it's not a personal thing, as if it's still a show. And that it bothers me every time it happens. And yet they continue to do it. And it's not necessary. Like, are you in a personal feud or not? Or is it still a show where you have to pose to the crowd, even though you're fuming mad because somebody invaded your home with a doll in your house, and it's threatening your wife and your children?
Yeah, and just it, I don't know. It didn't seem like a whole lot of build up for that storyline too, between the Miz and Bray Wyatt. I think they could have done a little more story time, a good month or so, maybe going to another pay per view. But you know, no offense there for Bray Wyatt and the Miz, just getting the best of him there. I wanted the Fiend to really appear, and it didn't happen. But now to see what happens here with Daniel Bryan, that's going to be pretty cool to see what he can do with Bray Wyatt at the Royal Rumble.
Just to throw one more thing at it, you know, you guys do a wrestling show almost every week. This is how they wanted to close out the year, the decade.
Yeah, thank you.
This sucked.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Not good.
They're not thinking like that, though. They're not thinking like that. They are thinking that we have a themed pay-per-view to do. How can we best execute it? And this was the best that they came up with. And this goes to the bigger point. And we've talked about Vince McMahon all of a sudden is like, well, the network buys aren't down, and the people don't invest in the network until the day of, or the new subscribers don't invest in the network until the day before when they see the full card. So we don't have to invest in long-term card building. Do they not understand the history of the biggest money that's drawn is of long-term storytelling? Most recently, we all knew that Ronda Rousey was going to main event WrestleMania in New York. It was supposed to be Charlotte. It ended up being Charlotte and Becky. Years ago, the last time that pay-per-view really mattered was The Rock and John Cena. And we had, realistically, 3 years of build from WrestleMania 28, when The Rock was the special referee for The Miz and John Cena, to, I'm sorry, it was WrestleMania in Atlanta, WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta. The Rock was the special guest referee for Miz and Cena. Then it goes to Miami, WrestleMania 28, once in a lifetime. That drew big pay-per-view money, and then it was twice in a lifetime. And that went down as the last big pay-per-view draw for WWE, because that was the last time the pay-per-view mattered. And that was a long-term storytelling. And if you even want to go back further than that, the mega powers exploding. That was right before WrestleMania 4, where Savage wins the title. Hogan helps him. You go a year of storytelling to WrestleMania 5, draws big money then, and then the Hogan-Savage feud continues right on and draws tons of money into a whole different organization. Why? Because it's long-term storytelling. That is the key to this, and everything is short-term. Let's see what we can do, and it's not working. And this is why people are leaving in, well, they're not leaving droves, but the interest in the product is dwindling.
While we're on it, Sarge, I know you have an opinion, but we just watched the NFL, right? All day long today.
Yeah.
There's questionable, you know, end of the game stuff happened, questionable referee things. Some teams didn't show up. A team that was going to be in first place is now in fifth place because of, like, just a simple play. Like, the NFL stuffed it on our face every week. You know, there's Monday, going to be Saturday. Wrestling was the same way, right, for a period of time. Just got beat to death by football all day. And that was, like, what we saw today actually was, like, pretty pathetic. And I'm sorry I was late, guys, because it was really that bad.
Yeah, this was not a good – it's not a fun show to talk about, the TLC. I mean, you know, even look at the – they brought it out on the social media aspect of Bayley not being there. She said, oh, I'm going to take a vacation day. You know, her and the Lacey Evans, that rival there, I think that's a little too soon too. It looks like you probably won't see that to the Royal Rumble. Another champion there. You didn't see her out. Now Randy Orton and AJ Styles, that match been moved to Raw. It's like let's see if it throw it against the wall and see if it sticks, and that's what it did here. And this did not stick for the production aspect. Terrible booking, bad execution, not good matches. Please throw this pay-per-view away. Bad way to end the year.
And the thing, too, is, like, people say, oh, this is lazy booking. It probably is lazy, but what's funny is all the effort that they probably put sitting in meetings trying to dwindle this down to what you saw out there, and the execution was just really poor. So we've done 15 minutes on that, and I don't want to do that because I sent you guys a text message. I'm like, if TLC's a stinker, let's do something on the Royal Rumble, because there is a little news nugget out there that rumor and innuendo on the internet is that the Royal Rumble is going to feature 10 members from Raw, 10 members from SmackDown, and 10 members from NXT. I would make an adjustment and make it 9 members from each of the brands, and that allows for one of the fun things of the Royal Rumble, and that is 3 surprise entrants into the match. I am for this. I love this idea. My adjustment is the key to it, so that you still have the surprise entrance where you can have a John Cena, a Bill Goldberg, a Lita, somebody like that as a surprise entrant into the matchups. Guys, what do you think about the Rumble having an equal number from each brand?
So the first time that happened was actually in Boston, Royal Rumble 2003, with 15 Raw, 15 SmackDown. And I think that would be, you know, for what we have been told here with NXT winning the Survivor Series and now their chance to potentially win the Royal Rumble, it makes perfect sense. It really does, because it seems like the more we go further toward WrestleMania here, that NXT is going to have a big part in the show, whether it be a main event, someone in there, the main event, or they'll have 2 to 3 matches. It's a big step in the right direction here for NXT being a part of WrestleMania. So this is, again, for them to be in the Royal Rumble there to showcase their product. This has been the year of NXT for the WWE brand right there. Huge. And now for them to, you know, really show us that SmackDown's on Friday and the Raw on Monday, the whole brand split here, again, fantastic. Fantastic. 9, I like it, Jimmy. 4 surprise, or the surprise ones, that's cool. But if they go the 10 on each, that's really, really good.
Yeah, I kind of like when the NXT, like, remember when Rusev got brought in? I thought that was good. That was years ago now, but I liked it because it was early on and you lasted pretty much a while, you know, through it. Adam Cole was a big part of last year, if you remember.
Johnny Gargano was as well.
There you go. At least, like, we got, like, an intro. Oh, this is Johnny Gargano. He's one, you know, Johnny Wrestling from NXT. Well, now we know who these guys are, right? I mean, that's just, we should know who these people are. I'm curious, though, about the 10-10-10 thing or the 9-9-9. I don't know if that's what they do. Maybe it is like that. But at the same time, now we keep talking about, you know, can we get some sort of, like, you know, a reason for there to be things. Maybe there's something that happens, because I'm reading now that TakeOver might be different because of this Royal Rumble thing. TakeOver, I think, is the bang of pay-per-view weekend. You mean, guys, if you put the NXT in a TLC match tonight, they're going all out. Like, those guys aren't going to be able to walk until Wednesday night when they have NXT. Yeah. But, like, if you're going to take away that just so people can be in the Rumble, I'm not for that whatsoever. I wouldn't mind a handful of maybe 4 of the 5 guys, and then have some big names or rumored names coming in here. But overall, to get NXT involved in the Royal Rumble, I think is good, and I'm in on it.
So I don't think that it'll affect the TakeOver thing. People are just going to have to do double duty. That's all. I mean, Adam Cole did a War Games match and then did a match with Pete Dunne the next night. That's just kind of, if you want to be part of the NXT brand, you're going to have to do double duty. Because and keep in mind, too, that their schedule, the NXT schedule, is a little lighter. They only have 60 to 70 or maybe even 80 dates a year. So they should, in theory, be able to handle it, although the WWE road schedule seems to be dwindling greatly. But I'm for this, and maybe it's not announce an outright number of participants. Just the expectation going into the show is you're going to see some NXT.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Stars, because if you try to write out the women of NXT, it kind of thins out pretty quickly, and especially if Shayna Baszler is going to go to Raw or SmackDown later on, it thins out even more.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a great way to, you know, showcase the NXT women's division there in the Royal Rumble, even if they don't win. And like you're saying, with Shayna Baszler to get that push, which she's going to get on the main roster eventually, a good way to really show everyone that doesn't watch NXT who they are in the Royal Rumble match right there.
Who are your favorites to win the Rumble?
Well, I think Joe asked a few weeks ago, and I had Ronda Rousey for the women's. I don't know if she's going to be back though at this point. I really don't. So I'm going to go. I mean, if she's not back, I'm going to say Shayna Baszler. I really am. She's been the hot thing right now. But if Ronda is going to be back, then she will. But I just don't have that feeling she'll be there. And for the men's side, Roman Reigns, probably. Kevin Owens, maybe one of those two.
I get the odds in front of me if you want them.
Yeah, go for it, Joe.
Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Kevin Owens. Those are your top three to win. Kane Velasquez is on that list. Wyatt, Daniel Bryan.
Kane Velasquez would be terrible. But you know what? They do it. They do it so that they get Brock versus Kane. Oh, that's disgusting. Oh, that just ruined the show even more. Oh,
and the TV ratings.
Terrible.
Because, yeah, and to get ESPN and everything.
UFC this weekend was awesome. And if you know, they love that partnership with ESPN. So who knows? But it was awesome this weekend. It's actually kind of sad. WWE was bad, and UFC was really good. So who knows? Maybe they would go that route.
Mm. Oh, Kane Velasquez.
Who do you think? Who do you think, Jimmy?
So I think as far as people who are active right now, I'd say Kevin Owens wins the men's. I'm in on Shayna Baszler winning the women's. But I still kind of have a lasting hope that John Cena wins the men's Rumble. If they wanted to add to the villainous ways of Baron Corbin, he would win the Rumble.
Yeah.
And then they find somebody to
What's good for WWE, though? What's good? Like, remember when Daniel Bryan won the championship? That was all over. Everyone go. Even Kofi Kingston this year. And I know we're going to have our year awards, but it was tougher for me to find out the best. I know you guys will do that soon. You know, now that I think about it, what's really good for WWE? I think Owens is really
Kevin
good.
Kevin Owens is the best thing that they have right now. He's got to win the men's Royal Rumble.
And why was he not on the pay-per-view tonight? He should have been in there.
Seth Rollins is hurt, and that was going to be the scheduled match.
But that, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm just saying, it again, you know.
Hey, you know what the best thing about tonight's fight was of pay-per-view? Oh, on Monday Night Raw, we're going to give him AJ Styles and Randy Orton.
Dude. I know. Yeah, why couldn't that be in the pay-per-view?
It'll be a WrestleMania rematch. That's how we'll promote it. And here's what it is. Here's the business side of wrestling that people hate. How much is Fox paying? They're paying $1 billion over 5 years. USA Network is paying $1 billion over 5 years.
Yeah.
It is no longer a pay-per-view driven industry. It is no longer a house show, live event driven industry.
So then why buy the network?
Because they still show the replay and they can still get revenue from people who want to watch the pay-per-views or who want to watch the old stuff. There's hours and hours and hours of footage, and that's why. And it's only $10 until they do this tiered thing where pay-per-views are probably going to be $20. There's going to be a free tier to the network where I think they're going to have a timed, like you can watch the network for free at any time for 60 minutes, and then they'll go from there. But I think that it's going to be tiered soon. If you want live pay-per-views, it's $20 a month. If you want to just watch the archive stuff, it's $14 a month or something like that. I think that's coming soon.
Yeah, and it was probably – it was supposed to come by the end of this year, so I wouldn't be shocked if it does come like a week or two before the Royal Rumble.
At this point, they might wait until after WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too.
Because they want to get – they want to make sure that their WrestleMania subscriptions are higher. And by the way, I don't know if you guys are traveling to Tampa. More and more I talk to people, they're not making the trip to WrestleMania. There isn't stuff that interests them. And if you look at their ticket grid, there's still a lot of tickets for WrestleMania available.
Wow. Yeah, and yeah, they're advertising like hell for that. Because I think New York last year sold out within, what, 2 or 3 days?
It was a pretty quick sellout, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty in Tampa. You know, warm climate, nice time of year. Go down there in April, not bad. But... Yeah, it's pretty down right now for WWE. And again, NWO to put him in the Hall of Fame like that. And who was it, Batista right away? It's this early. That's a red flag right there to announce it so early to boost the ticket sales.
Yeah. How about the Eric Bischoff angle on that too?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll announce it at some point.
No, I'm just kidding. Part of the NWO or not?
Eric Bischoff should be inducting them if he's not part of the NWO, but he should be.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're putting X-Pac in there, right? Six, because he was the sixth member, then he should go in there. The Giant should go in there. Ted DiBiase should go in there as NWO members, right? But no, this is Triple H being like, oh, we like Sean Walkman. Let's give him another payday, and he'll go in as a member of DX. Last year in New York, he'll go in as a member of the NWO. This is just friends helping friends out. This is what the industry is.
Listen to the one podcast because he's pretty big on Bischoff being in it. Isn't he a big part of what the NWO was?
He was.
Sure, big time.
He was the one who stole the idea from New Japan, and he was the one who sold Hulk Hogan on it ultimately. And then his on-screen character was very important in facilitating the evil owner, the evil authority figure, because Eric Bischoff preceded evil Vince McMahon.
Yep,
right.
And Vince just did it better because he actually owned the company.
Right.
And as Bruce Pritchard tells the story, Vince never wanted to be that evil character because he just wanted to be portrayed as the announcer. I'm just the announcer. They'll never believe that I'm a bad guy. And no, Vince, you actually are because you're the boss, and people generally hate their boss.
Yeah, and it works so well. One of the best things ever. But yeah, it just WrestleMania though coming up to this year, you know, in April right now. It's going to be whoever the surprises are for the Royal Rumble there. If we get John Cena, if we get Ronda Rousey and so forth, Kane Velasquez. It's probably going to end the match right there. It'll probably be the main event of WrestleMania, no doubt.
I've got nothing else because so if you guys have anything else, otherwise, you know, we'll roll the credits.
It sucks because this pay-per-view just, like, drained everything out of me. I don't know about you guys. It really sucks. Very disappointing.
I don't know if this is strictly a podcast that we're talking about WWE and TLC and things of that degree, but if you happen to see the ratings this week, did you see NXT and AEW were dead on?
Yep. Yeah. 60-minute Broadway. I loved it. It's good stuff. That's how it should be.
And NXT was a good show this week. And AEW was, too. But... I gave the upper hand to NXT and love what they're doing with the product week in, week out. So
the thing that I would want to know is how many of those are unique viewers? In other words, is there a click back and forth factor? Because one of the things that gets overhyped about the Monday Night Wars was, oh, look, we had 12 million people who were viewing wrestling on Monday night. Well, how many of those were the same person clicking back over and watching 5-minute blocks, and the credit for the ratings point goes to both shows?
Like, exactly what I did. I watched a lot of AEW, and then, you know, went back to the championship match on NXT. Who would, you know, go to the championship for that? So that was kind of what I did. But I do like the angle of Johnny Moxley, Inner Circle, who's going to be the next one in. Like, to me, you just don't know. Right?
I loved it, and I thought John Moxley's facials on camera were tremendous. I think he told you, I'm not joining these guys, but I'll let you sweat it out. It was great storytelling without him saying a word.
Yeah.
That's what we're getting with AEW. Some people might not like it. Some people say, we need a little bit more. But every week they're telling a story. They continue to put over younger stars. Tonight, did we get any of that in that pay-per-view tonight?
Nothing.
I would say Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black took a step in that direction, but yeah, it would depend on how they follow it up. Is this segment two where somebody's knocking on Buddy Murphy's door or Aleister Black's door being like, oh, I'm ready for a fight? Or are they actually going to highlight it? One of the lost things when the Hardys and Edge and Christian had that TIT invitational ladder match, that tag team ladder match, the one on No Mercy, was the next night on Raw, they highlighted it and made a point to go with it because the crowd reacted well. And then the next night, they got the appreciation of the crowd. And that's what got the Hardys and Edge and Christian over, is what do they do after? And if they do something with both those guys and put them in featured positions and the old man buys into it, the old man being Vince McMahon buys into it, then you've got something. But if they're not going to do that, then, you know, you might as well go back to Daniel Bryan versus Kane as a feud after Bryan wins the title at WrestleMania 30, which is an undercard to the Shield versus Evolution, because Hunter can't stand that Daniel Bryan got over, or Vince can't stand that he didn't get Batista and Randy Orton in the main event. He got this undersized guy who was a star in other places.
How about the Viking Experience in the OC, a double countout?
Gross. Disgusting. Yeah.
They wasted our time.
Same referee, too, that had the DQ on the Hell in the Cell.
Uh-oh. Do we have a wrangle?
Yeah, well, he was also the same one at the he was also the WrestleMania main event, too, Jimmy, right? Right.
Yep. Terrible official. Fire him.
I'm sure we can find out more about that.
Yeah, I bet he's betting from ringside. Joe, you can investigate on that.
The other thing is we have this thing called the wrangle. We call it the ref angle, and we have stats to back up these refs in certain situations. Maybe we have one here in WWE.
There you go.
So, I mean, you guys have anything else? I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go to bed. I'm done. Yeah.
No, can we go out with a bang? Can we like this? I can't. I'm sorry. Sorry, got to sleep. Was that bad?
No, it made for a funny bit for the podcast. I was into it.
Yeah, and Joe, I thought you were at the drive-thru when you were on speaker. I'm like, oh, Joe ordering a Big Mac or something.
No.
All right. So to lay out the rest of the year. We're going to do one more episode. It's going to be recorded a week from tonight. So that's December 22nd, Sunday night. We're going to do our year-end awards, and we're going to have fun with this. Male wrestler of the year, female wrestler of the year, tag team of the year, moment of the year, match of the year, event of the year, promotion of the year, and a bonus, wrestler of the decade. And if you want to single out one match of the decade, that's fine, but maybe we'll do a quick top five list in honor of the five count, which would be sponsored by the Over Under 98.5 podcast.
And James, by the way, on the at WrestleCast 95 account each day, the topics are going up there for fans to chime in, whatever they want for our topics. We're going to be talking about some really good ones to get some ideas for some, you know, what we could have for discussion for the year in review. So keep checking that out at WrestleCast 95 this week for the latest topics of what will be discussed.
And as I was putting together my notes, I'm going to warn everybody, this is going to be NXT heavy from my end.
My end.
Nice.
All right. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports, including Over Under 98.5 that would have sponsored a five count, but next week it's going to sponsor a top five wrestling matches of the decade. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Next week, year-end awards. Be there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.